Broadcast, the English language broken by no podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I have finally joined the 21st century, David.
Yes, you're on Spotify, aren't you?
I got Spotify.
Yeah. And why did you get Spotify?
Because I was in Prague for the darts at the weekend, and I wanted, before the darts, to go and check out a shop. And on the walk to that shop, I really wanted to hear You Can Call Me Al.
So Paul Simon. Small things, isn't it, really?
Yeah. You know, because it was a nice day. Yeah. Right. And I could just picture myself just strutting down, you know, in Carling. And I thought it was really good in my head.
Off to the darts. Off to the darts.
Chevy Chase didn't come with me, but
he was there very much in spirit.
Yes.
Following you about.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Good darts.
I mean, I've very much enjoyed the darts, as of course I would.
Yes.
It is the highlight of the year, one of the highlights of the year, the European tour. So when it comes to Prague, good crowd, knew a lot of people.
Yeah.
So yes, had a whale of a time.
Yes, you were in Prague at the same time that the Slavia game was happening, but obviously we're not there, and I was not in Prague for that because they sold it out. They sold the away sector out.
Yes, which is good work from all involved. Well, I mean,
we're going to come to that.
Some work could have been better by some involved, but
yes,
we will talk
we're going to come
that.
To that. But we've got three games to talk about. We've got three previews.
Yeah, we do.
Beer of the podcast, Hot or Not, and I've got a quiz for you as well.
Oh, wonderful stuff.
Yeah, so we've got a lot to get through in the next hour. So
strap yourselves in.
Yeah, hold on to your chapeau with an X on the end. You're a stupid head. And they were not as much of a stupid head as we thought.
We were in parts. I think we're going to flit through the three games quite quickly because we have a lot of ground to cover. But this was a game that I attended. I can't remember if... I don't think you attended.
I couldn't go and I can't remember why.
Because wanted to watch Coventry City play Hull, which was on
right,
the same time.
That's right, and that was a horrible mistake.
It was, because this game was some laugh.
Yeah. Coventry City 0, Hull City 1 was not a substitute for FC Zborovka Brno 3, Zlín 2. And what a game it was, by the way.
A match which started off just as a very normal football match and then possibly for the last 30 minutes just turned into like complete carnage. It was good fun.
Yes. Zborovka score first through Big Dan Vacheline. It's a really well taken goal, actually,
it is,
by the
way.
It is Tonda Vanicek running down the left, and he hits a low cross that Vacheline, running towards the near post away from goal, meets early with a kind of outside of the boot flick, which takes it past his man and into the roof of the net. It's an odd angle. And when we were at the Hradec Králové game with Kevin said he did not rate that goal at all. He thinks Vacheline is just a lump. It was a brilliant finish. Kevin, you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go back and watch it again.
It's an absolute wild assessment because I think it is clear from now, unless things go fucking absolutely horrifically wrong, is that Vacheline is going to end up with 15 goals this season.
Yes.
By being that target man and being able to score a variety of different goals, as we will find out later on, as well.
Hashtag good touch for a big man, honestly.
Yes, absolutely a good touch for a big man. And he isn't just scoring that goal that we train in ground for the first two games.
Yeah.
So that was good. And it was also far so good. And it was a good sort of, I don't know if you're going to come on to this, I'll just say it sort of briefly. It was a good sort of atmosphere. And I mentioned this on the Twitter as well. There was a significant Zlín support, which came along with their own TIFO and their flares and stuff.
Yeah, it looked good.
It didn't come across as a team that were five games, you know, winless.
Yeah.
Couldn't score goals. Like there was a good backing for their side, which you wouldn't often see in a team, you know, away from home, you know, on that sort of miserable run.
Yeah. And in fact, because that like very little of note happens for the rest of the first half, Zlín actually come out the better side after half time.
Zlín were all right. Like for all this sort of time, we didn't mention this the first half or whatever. I thought we were better And we were obviously a goal to the good. But like, Zlin looked fine. Their shape was fine. Their movement was fine. They just weren't really making the chances. They didn't seem like a team that was just like self-combusting, like, you know, we've seen before teams in this situation. Not like Banneker playing right now, for example.
Yeah, in fact, Mikhail Fukala equalises, and both of Zlin's goals come from basically the exact same thing.
We just cannot defend set pieces.
Yeah. he heads home unmarked, honestly, at the far post from the corner.
After the build-up, which should have been a fault, and has an absolutely raging Svjedić getting carded from the bench as
I think that's the second time this season as well.
Yeah. Just listener, I mean, I'm assuming that most people who listen to this podcast have like were either at the game or have seen the highlights at this point. But just if you haven't or whatever, you see this point that they have equalised and Svedic's just been carded. This is sort of where the fun begins, right?
Yes, because then they were only level for about a minute.
It was not even a minute. It was about 35 seconds.
As Tadej Vacholsek's Vaseline-bound cross was turned into his own net by Miloš Kopečný.
It was so close to the equalising goal that I missed the goal standing right in front of it because I was updating the Twitter that Zlin had equalised. It was that fast.
Yeah, and then Zlin peg Sporovka back again, another header from another corner from the same side.
And of course it had to be
your friend and mine, Jakub Alexeyevich Chernin, rising like the proverbial salmon to meet the in-swinging cross.
And I think for the first time this season, I did that thing where I sort of turn around and just go, oh, for fuck's sake. Because at that point, I thought we looked sort of fine or whatever. But 86 minute or whatever equaliser, and I'm like, we have dropped 2 points in this game.
Yes, very much so.
Against a team that, at least right now, on form, will be relegated.
What did we say about Dr. Zbrojovka in the last...
Exactly.
Yeah, it very much felt like one of those, like, you know, going back to our bad old ways. However, that was not quite that.
Not half, yes.
Yes. Dante, in a goal remarkably similar to Lucky Eze's on the first day, a carbon copy, actually... sort of dances his way down the left wing, puts in another one of those perfect crosses that curls towards the near post and then back out. And all Filip Vedral has to do is come powering in and smash the header home on 93 minutes.
And I mean, because it whistled for six. And it was, one of those ones where... And I liked this about it was that they still felt that there was a goal in it. Mm. So immediately after that equaliser, the kitchen sink was sort of getting thrown. Actually, just moments. I mean, 30 seconds before that sort of cross or whatever, like Stada Dostal pulls off a very competent save as well from a more sort of like outside of the box sort of shot as well. Like there was a lot of activity happening, and then. You know, it was shades of that late goal last season against Taborsko. Yeah. It was that sort of vibe that you got from it. And yeah, so that was excellent. And then also you were like, well, they've done this before, there's now 3 minutes to go.
Yeah.
To which I don't know if you're mentioning this in the notes, but then the curious situation after this.
What's the curious situation?
Well,
after
so the curious
that?
Situation.
I didn't see this on the highlights, I don't think.
So the curious situation after this was, and this is about a minute later or whatever, Zbrojovka's plan at this point is obviously the plan that you do with a couple of minutes before the referee whistles up, which is to try and play it into, you know, sort of very neutral space, try and play it to the corner and so on. However, it breaks really, really favourably. It breaks really, really favourably to the point that we have almost like a one-on-one situation happening in the second and we're not really rushing it. we're sort of pulling through or whatever. I can't remember exactly who it was. I think it could have been it was someone like Pencil Rimarenko, and what happens is that there is a pretty robust challenge from what's his name, shares the same surname as the guy that we used to have who wasn't very good, Hellebrand,
right? Yes,
Tomáš Hellebrand,
different number of L's,
yes,
of course.
And I remember, and then what happens is they get the ball back and they immediately go forward.
Yeah.
At the same time, me and Liam there going, I'm sure that's a foul. I'm sure that he almost sort of like grabs his back and sort of puts him down. They go up the other end, and then there's a sort of a slight spillage in our box, to which Herdina sort of picks up and so on. And then suddenly there's a lot of standing around. And for 1 minute you're like, we haven't just conceded some random penalty, have we? Just for whatever that was. But no, the game stopped like for like 3 or 4 minutes because they were looking at that the challenge, the Hellebrand challenge. And then what happens is that Hellebrand gets sent off because it's also they deem it denying a goal scoring opportunity. Yeah. There's no one back to cover, and then like literally 5 seconds later, whistle.
Yeah,
and you're like, what a wild, what a wild end to think. Because everyone's like happy, whatever, you know, because we've scored the winner. Sure, it turns out it's the winner, and then suddenly you've got that 3 minutes of like standing around.
Yeah, it's sort of it's such a weird anticlimax to a mad second half.
And they do not do this yet. So we've got these new snazzy screens both sides, so everyone can see. It doesn't say, it's not like, I think they have this now in England, correct me if I'm wrong, but it goes on the screen, you know, VAR checking possible foul. It doesn't have any of that, it's just standing about. So it's very strange. Great result, obviously, given the circumstances, but you're also like, we made that so much tougher on ourselves. Both of those goals are our fault.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something we have to look into for future games.
Yeah. So that was Zbrojovka 3, Zlín 2, and a wild afternoon at the races it was. We have, like I said, two more games to talk about. We've got quite a lot of stuff to get through. I can't do the quiz till later because content running order purposes, the quiz has to come later. Do you want to do another game or do you want to do hot or not?
Let's do the let's catch up one more game, do a hot or not.
And okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Let's do that. So, Hradec Králové after this. In the midweek,
fucking dingbats, though.
In the break, we played dingbats briefly.
You enjoyed.
Don't give any answers because obviously people who will do the quiz on Thursday will listen to this.
You're in for a treat if you play that quiz.
He said blankly.
The Zlín game was important because I thought we'd lose this one.
yes, right. It was Zbrojovka 1, Hradec Králové 0 goals. At the time, I remember thinking it was a very controlled professional performance, but I looked back at the highlights, got a little bit sketchy towards the end. And there were a couple of moments which I had not remembered when we were there live. It wasn't massively exciting, but it was generally pretty well controlled. Aside from, like I say, a bit of drama at the end and some hot-headedness from Adam Herdina on 23 minutes. Do you remember this?
Oh, Adam Herdina, who could have... Yes, yeah. He sort of goes rushing out.
Yes. Didn't really need to and went in... sort of feet first, despite the fact that they were in the penalty area. Missed the ball with his feet, with his kind of attempted tackle, but then stopped the scuff shot with an outstretched hand. The situation was then dealt with by sheer weight of numbers pouring back, and that could have been a lot messier than it was. That could have been a penalty given away and a red card for our young Slovak goalkeeper. But that was sort of it for the first half. Not a lot happened, honestly. But the breakthrough came in the second half with caps up that man again, Daniel Vacheline. As Benny Kanakamana's low cross evaded everyone, and Vacheline was at the back post to that is the most bundling the ball home I've seen finish this season.
In the back,
yeah, really did just kind of stumbled it over the line, but he's there and he's done it again. So that's goal 4 for the season.
Got to be in the right place, right time,
yeah.
Benny was good in this game.
He was.
I thought our whole front line was actually because you're also complimented by Tad Vahoshek as well.
Yeah. Nice to see Benny given a start. It's kind of also to save some people for the Slavia game coming up. I think we thought that a couple of the non-regular starters would be enough to see off a probably quite knackered Hradec Králové side.
Yeah.
Who did look a little bit leggy already.
Like, I was thinking about this because I think that Liam also sort of said that they were sort of leggy. And it's maybe not the term that I associated with the Hraditz performance. Like, I thought they looked, if anything, like kind of light or lightweight, I think. Because I think that they were, I think, reasonably nippy. And the thing is, they didn't really fashion any chances, so to speak of. But I thought throughout the match, when they got into sort of promising positions, at least for the first sort of 70, 80 minutes, like, it was quite easy to almost like sort of like brush them aside.
As though they were matchsticks, yes.
Maybe that is legginess, right? But like, I just thought it's very easy to just, you put under any bit of pressure. I thought we were able to like, you know, sort of get the ball off them at sort of like quite an easy rate. And then we would turn that into a, you know, at least into an opportunity.
Yeah, it just didn't felt like they were quite up for it as much as maybe they should have been. But, you know, either way, we will absolutely take that.
Well, the Hraditz manager who said they controlled the game and they deserve to win, apparently. Different game than I saw.
Yeah, David Horaj, normally somebody I have a fair amount of respect for, being relatively successful at a relatively young age, but he's clearly watched a different game there.
No, he's absolutely on one. Like, and maybe he can... was it on one play? I don't know. But there weren't that many Hraditz Kraljevi fans, obviously, because it's a midweek game. They still took about 50, 60, which is good. But so maybe you can say these sorts of things when, you know, people can't have watched really for themselves. Yeah, and then you maybe, go, we must have been the better side. But I thought Zborovka Brno were well worth the win. I was delighted with the result.
Yeah, absolutely. The only kind of bit of mild insanity at the end, there was a Hraditz penalty shout in the 92nd minute as Vaseline clips Abdullahi Umar, which replays show was A, probably a foul, but B, just outside the box and isn't given anyway. There was a slight moment of panic in the stands where we briefly went, he's not, is he? No, he's not. Okay, so that was good. And then in the same move, the ball sort of finds its way over to the right-hand side and finds its way back in again. It's fired back in, and Mick Van Buren, sliding in a la Paul Gascoigne at Euro 96, just can't quite make contact on it, because that would have been a kick in the nads.
Yes.
But, 1-0 it remained, and a fairly professional performance with nobody taking any injuries or looking, you know, majorly put out by the whole thing. Yeah. So there we go.
Which placed Zbrojovka before the Saturday's action in second place in the league.
Yeah.
What?
Absolute vertigo.
Yeah. And that's a rescheduled game. So it wasn't like, oh yeah, we've played one more and we're second. We were just second.
Yeah. It's
like, bizarre.
Yeah, absolutely mad.
What a season.
Yeah. So far.
So far. It's not even a third in. No.
It was a fairly uneventful game. I don't really think we've got a lot more to say about it, really.
Not really in the interest of saving time for other things.
Let's hot or not after this little break. Hotness is what we're talking about, and also, at the same time, notness. Those are two quite nice things to talk about, aren't they?
It is, yeah.
So should we get into it?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to break with tradition.
Okay.
Because, again, time constraints, I think.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with two hot.
All right, fair enough,
There we go. Would you like one hot now?
Sure.
There's a longer one and a shorter one.
Okay.
The shorter one is Brett Ormerod going to Benidorm in his 50th. Blackpool's Brett Ormerod, who is known for, of course, David...
Having an unusual surname.
Yes, but also he scored in all four divisions for Blackpool.
Oh, did he?
And he got the winner when they got promoted in the playoff.
Oh, yeah.
So Brett Ormerod, good lad. And they have dressed him up in his Blackpool kit.
Lovely stuff.
So, good stuff. A proper... one of those, you know, blokes can just sit around naming old footballers.
Yeah.
Brett Ormerod, happy birthday.
Good stuff. I'll give you a not... Mm-hmm. In big news for fans of machinations and gerrymandering, Gianni Infantino, it's him again.
This was close to being mine, yeah.
Has separated FIFA's management of the Caribbean countries from the rest of CONCACAF.
Because the Caribbean quite like him.
Yes, exactly. yes, it's basically a, you know, divide and conquer tactic in CONCACAF, isn't it?
Yes.
And Do you know who he's put as president of that particular bit?
That's Hitler.
Former Switzerland and Manchester City midfielder Gelson Fernandez. Yes. Who's also FIFA's representative to Africa.
I see, yeah. Africa, who also quite like...
quite like Infantino.
Infantino,
yes.
So, yes.
Yeah.
He's standing again, isn't he?
Of course he is.
What a prick.
Yeah. Give me a second hot there.
My second hot is George Desmond Kumarasi, David.
That's the same as my hot.
Excellent!
Actually, my hot was going to be the headline, a non-league goalkeeper from London has been chosen to take the throne of a kingdom in Uganda. Is, yes. I mean, I love everything about, you know, apart from the fact his cousin died of cancer, I don't love that. But everything about this story is immense.
I like it mostly for the ESPN article, which in the third paragraph just goes, Kumarasi, known as Big G at the Bexley Hayes-based club.
Big G.
Big G.
Yes. He was chosen as the next Omukama.
Yes.
Which is their word for king of this, like, subnational constitutional monarchy, basically, after his cousin King Rikidi IV died. Do you know how the people of this Ugandan monarchy are going to honour Rikidi IV?
I do not.
They're going to plant 1 million trees.
Really?
In his honour. So, that's listen, a nice fair thing. Play.
Yeah. Kumarasi regularly features in the club's social media content and is known for delivering passionate, often expletive-laden speeches to his teammates before matches.
I want to see his first royal address to the nation.
So it's a team that was founded by a British rapper, apparently.
It's SE Dons, isn't it?
SE Dons, yes. Yeah. I like this because they play in the ninth tier of you know, English football, right? And ESPN have still put in the club have been approached for comment.
I'm sure they have.
As someone put on Twitter, imagine if that popped up in your inbox the day before a match on an FM save. your goalkeeper is unavailable because he's been made a king of a Ugandan kingdom.
Yeah. Get it in, SI. You know. Yeah,
wow,
brilliant.
It's been a long while since we've both had the same hot.
It really is, yeah. So that's, yeah, it's not, it either shows there's not much going on in the world of football, or we just thought that was just it's just a brilliantly unlikely story.
There's been a few good things this week, I think. So yeah, that's a good one for sure.
Yeah. Let's do a preview. What's the first one you've got there?
I think we should do Sparta. Slavia, even, because then we'll know the state of play for everything else, right?
Ooh, yes. Okay, fair enough. Yes, let's talk about Slavia. I completely forgot about that. So that's coming up.
Let's quickly talk about Slavia, because I have only seen highlights.
Yeah, me too. So that's coming up next. Bratsy went up to Prague on Saturday for a fairly traditional 3 p.m. mm-hmm. kickoff.
On a football special.
Yes, on a football special, which did not come back in as good condition as it went up in.
Yes.
That towards the end. A relatively even first half with one big chance for either team. The wonderfully named Daniel Sturm.
Yeah, he who looks just great for them.
Yeah, bursting clear only to be stopped by Adam Hrdina, who learnt from his mistake against Hradec Králové with a fabulously timed one-on-one stop. And Patrick Chavos having the decent chance for us, spooning a shot over the bar from 8 yards out. It's a fairly tight angle, but should have done better.
Yeah, flashes really. It almost, doesn't he?
Yeah. However, on 37 minutes, Jakub Klima wrestles Tomáš Chory to the ground in just an act of idiocy, honestly. It's a throw-in wide on the right, and he has just wrapped himself around Chory and just bundled him to the ground for no particularly good reason. It's a penalty, and the penalty is given, and Chory himself tucks it away quite nicely. You're making wobbly head gestures about whether it was a penalty
or not. I'm not convinced it's a penalty, no. Because I don't think he's fully around him. I think it's just jostling in the box. I don't.
He's got both arms around him.
No, for me, Clive.
Yeah.
Not a penalty.
Well, it happened. So there we go.
I mean, haven't they come? I mean, there's been quite a lot of controversy about that and some other things in this game, hasn't there? So
I don't know what other things. Like I said, I've only seen the highlights. I haven't read anything about it either, really. So, but maybe we can talk about that in a second.
Because the Referees Commission came out and said there were serious mistakes in this game.
Oh, really?
Regarding the VAR, and it was supposed to be a penalty.
Oh, okay.
Is one of the things. So I don't know. But look, I mean, listener, I was at the darts, and because the darts was so good, you know, usually if you're not watching the game, or if you're away for whatever, if I'm away somewhere else, trying to find a telly to watch it, or I'm just glued to Flash Score or whatever, I found out about the result of this game at possibly about 7:30 in the evening. Yeah. So it's one of these ones, I'm afraid. As usual, we'll divert you to other podcasts that will talk about this in a lot more in detail.
Here is the weird thing, though, because we haven't said yet, but it did finish 4-0 to Slavia. Yeah. But if you looked purely at the stats, they do not tell the story of a 4-0 defeat. Zbrojovka had more of the ball. We had 53% of the ball. And we had 11 shots to Slavia's 16. But they're just, for this league, a complete football team. The second half, it's a lot of possession for us. But then Slavia, in full flight, just picking us off due to our high defensive line. And when they came flooding forward, they just looked bloody impressive. They played some lovely stuff. Their third goal, especially.
Third goal's lovely.
Yeah.
Third goal's a proper, yes.
Yeah, a run down the left, inside ball, a no-look first-time reverse pass from Daniel Sturm into the path of Emmanuel Iosi, and a first-time finish, which is just assured as hell.
Just like, sits Hrdina down on his arse, basically. Is it? So just a great goal.
Yeah, they just come flooding forward. They know exactly where they all are. They're just they're just a class outfit at this point.
When you're 3-0 up, and then on the 80th minute, that's the time that you're like, oh, let's give Moimir Hitel a run out as well. Yeah. You're like, well, there's just depth to this sort of stuff as well. I'm told he didn't have an amazing game, but I quite like that Viktor Novak they've got as well, who is sort of their central midfield.
Right.
He looks really good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, the stats don't tell the story, but what the story is us who, you know, we are a more than competent outfit, but we are up against, basically, we're up against the Arsenal of the league. They just look far better than everybody else, and they're probably going to win it again.
And that's fine. No, they're not probably going to win it. They're definitely going to win it. Yes. And the question is going to be, when will they win it this season? I think because also wild as well this is, right? I'll talk about this more later on in the in the podcast as well. But right now, the two teams that are basically, you know, looking like they can put up any sort of fight with Slavia Prague are Slovan Liberec and Mladá Boleslav.
Yes.
Like, strange stuff is happening within this league. And frankly, like, I would far happier that we have basically gone to Prague with a good away turnout and we have tried to go there and play football.
Yeah.
All right. Got pumped because of it. And like you say, the stats don't, you know, show maybe slightly different than the highlights. And also, you know, from hearing from people, they're like, gave it a go. So
yeah,
what more do you want?
Absolutely.
Rather have that than a 2-0 loss or whatever, where we have played like, you know, sort of like 10 men behind the ball.
Fuck absolutely. It. Yeah. It's very different to previous times when we've gone to Prague and have looked defeated before a ball has even been kicked.
Yeah.
Shall we give a slight mention to the reprehensible behaviour of some of our...
I thought we were going to say about...
support.
Possibly reprehensible behaviour from a Mr. Horry as well, who's... I've not seen the incident. Apparently, he's been up to his old tricks at kicking people again.
Oh, surprise.
This time,
surprise.
Adam Hrdina.
Yeah.
But, yes, let's mention this stuff, because this stuff isn't good.
Yeah, so it was a football special. Everyone went up on the train, everyone came back on the train. There is a railway station directly next to the stadium, so they could divert the train to there, which they did. And on the way back, there is a carriage which was smashed up to an unbelievable degree. Yeah. I mean, it is appalling to see. Yeah. It's just wanton, mindless vandalism from a small group of, let's say, absolute twats.
Kids, as well in some, like, so this is the Zbrojovka Jugend.
Yes.
You might remember
the Hitler Jugend.
Well, Zbrojovka Jugend have previous form on this because they also graphoed up the toilets at
Pardubice.
Pardubice, possibly. No, not Pardubice. It was because I haven't played them in the last season in a bit. But they
Oh no, it was it not at Pardubice, but we were playing
Chrudim. Possibly. Yeah. Possibly
red and white.
They've
definitely
done this before. I mean, these are the boys, I mean, they've been around for a few years now. I remember lifting up, like, trying to dismantle some of the away section at bloody Varnsdorf, for fuck's sake. You know what I would also like to say on this is that, did you see this Brovac's statement on this?
Yes.
Which I thought was a good statement.
It
which
pulls
no punches. Because this is the thing as well. Like, smashing up sort of stuff is it's all fun and it's edgy and all that sort of stuff. You know, I mean, everyone was young once or whatever. But, like, the thing about doing stuff, right, or causing damage is that someone has to pay for it. And what's going to happen is, you know, this will get, you know, this sort of stuff gets billed to the club or whatever. Now, the Zbrojovci are going to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, and they've taken responsibility for doing this. And the Zbrojovci this season have done, and actually towards the tail end of last season, have had a heroic effort in getting people onto buses and onto trains to go out and to support their team. This is what we want to see. And there has been, you know, there's been less incidents from morons.
Fewer incidents.
Yeah, I do this every time. And but what happens is that when you see this or whatever, what it does mean is we have, it encourages more incidents, actually, like incidents that happened before this event, where what I think is also worth mentioning is that there was extremely heavy-handed police, a police presence at this game between fans who. And I've seen some videos and, you know, and I've seen the write-up about this, whatever, which did nothing except make the situation worse. Situation's going to get a lot more worse if they keep seeing stuff on social media of us trashing stuff.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get kettled in. And then we're going to get, you know, frog marched back onto the train.
It's kind of a catch-22, isn't it? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, really.
Not in a one-man-in-his-dog stadium now. Wise the fuck up, generally.
Yeah.
Genuinely. Because it's not even, like, now pretty much all the fans are now going, you're idiots, and it's not good enough to basically just not listen to this or whatever, because I think eventually you will get ostracized for, and for good reason, from the, you know, the wider fan group.
Hope so. Yeah. Yeah, so that was that. That was Slavia 4, Zbrojovka 0. So,
but let's put that all behind us.
Yes. As we go into, we got three previews, have we not?
Three previews.
Yeah. And your first one is?
The Battle for the Shtetl.
The Battle for the Shtetl, after this. Saturday is the Brno Derby, the genuinely promoted team versus the not genuinely promoted team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you are listening to this at home, listener, grab yourself a drink. We might be here a while.
Oh, it's going to be one of these, isn't it?
What? One of my excellent, well-researched previews.
Very, very
absolutely
long previews.
Someone... Would you rather me not? Like, yeah, go. Oh, we're playing artists that used to be called Lishen and fuck them and we're going to win. I take pride in my work, David. I didn't have that much work. The most important thing, of course, is bragging rights over the wonky trophy. Absolutely.
Oh, yes. The very small, very shit trophy. Yes.
Yes. A full house will be expected.
Absolutely,
at 3 o'clock on this Saturday, with presumably both sides will be up for it.
Yes, weirdly, I'm going to miss this home game, which is very strange, but it's one of the few motorsport events of the year up at the Brno racetrack, so me and a few people are going to go up for some live motorsport, because it happens relatively rarely. So
Yeah. I can't drive, and I'll be drinking beer at this game.
I mean, I'm going to be drinking beer at the circuit as well, but, you know.
Yeah, this is Saturdays. This I don't care what anyone says, right? This will be the third match between the two sides, all right? So, because our first match, our so-called away game, a disappointing affair, I think you can safely say, threw away a lead, pretty miserable second half performance from Zbrojovka. Lucky to not lose, I thought, at the maybe towards the end of it. And then the return leg, let's say, was a pretty tight contest until about midway through the second half, where the Artist defense couldn't keep up with the chances that Zbrojovka created, ultimately going down 2-0 thanks to two late goals by Vorlitsky and Georgievsky.
Yes.
So that was in March.
Yeah.
And a lot has happened in 6 months, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So
mainly a massive churn of players for Artists.
Well, sure. And we'll absolutely be going into that. Because like you said at the start of this bit, you know, champions of the division, up on merit. Artists finished third, got absolutely battered by Slovacko in the playoffs. 4-1 and then 3-0. And then due to the administrative relegation of Karviná, due to match fixing, and then Taborsko subsequently declining their place or the space in the top flight, Artists find themselves, you know, in the top tier of Czech football, which was Veit's goal.
You say find themselves demanded to be in.
I wouldn't say demanded, because they had to
because obviously he wanted to get up there by hook or by crook. He's one of these multi-billionaires who thinks that he can make himself popular by just chucking money at stuff and not having any sort of integrity, personality,
Hey, aren't you that guy everyone hates?
Oh, good Lord, no, I'm Igor Veit.
Yeah, like that's it. And it just happened like this. There would have been ways otherwise, I'm sure. You are correct there. But what it made me think, you know, I was thinking about this while I was doing this, that I remember the press release that they put out when they accepted the invitation, which started with the line, "Artists accept the challenge of going into the top flight."
Right.
And after 7 games, it's clear this is a challenge for them. And look, money isn't necessarily the problem here, right? Because, you know, like you said there, Veit can throw around money like nobody's business, right?
And it's exactly what they're doing. One of the most scattergun approaches to transfer policy I've seen for a while.
Yeah. Except it's got possibly good. We'll see. The problem is that Artists were thrust into the top flight in a couple of weeks' notice. This is the problem, right? So with a squad that was, I would suggest, second tier competitive at best.
Oh, yeah.
So because the Artists model is the opposite of stability. So their attempt last season, just to recap, though you did it a lot more succinctly than I did, was based on paying inflated salaries to aging mercenaries to try and buy the league, right? So that failed, and therefore most mercenaries left. And then the new cadre of players that began to arrive, you know, were there to try and win promotion. And there is a big difference between spending money on a squad to win promotion to the top flight and a squad built to remain in the top flight and build from there. So this is the thing. So from my count, on the summer, 7 players left Artists, 2 went out on loan, and 3 were relegated to the B team.
Okay.
So that includes the Omani duo of Al Mushafri and Al Braiki.
Yeah.
Radim Breite, who I think we can both say was just an unbelievable disappointment for
well,
them.
Well, yeah.
Matched possibly by Jean-David Bourgeois.
That's a real shame. I like him as a player. It's just, it absolutely smacked of when Coventry in League 2 signed like a 38-year-old Yakubu, who just like clanked around and his knees were clearly gone and he was awful.
Because he was offered to us and we said no because the salary was massive and his knees had gone, really, as well. So, but I don't blame Bourgeois for this because if I was Bourgeois and his agent and I had a club willing to pay me, I reported, was it 500,000 a month or whatever?
Yeah.
I'd be absolutely doing that. So he made a grand total of 7 appearances across League and Cup. Before he got injured again. So, story of his career. And I think that is an end to the career now.
I think so.
Yeah. So, you know, all the best. Artem Besedin, Tomáš Holý are both gone. Let's just quickly say the funniest one for me is Daniel Švancara, who has...
good God.
You know, because he left Zbrojovka Brno, which in itself isn't funny because, you know, he's 19, he needs playing time, and we just weren't going to give him that. So, you know, fair enough. So Morris the Fact is choosing artists because that was his preference. His dad then running his mouth, walking back his comments and saying he was surprised he was getting so many minutes in the artist's first team, and which, you know, for context was two starts. He's never played more than an hour for them in a single match. He's now in a season-long loan to Petr Žálka in the Slovak second tier.
This is turning into a very, you know, Ali Agic career arc. Did you see he got released by Žilina?
I know, it's not
this
good.
Week. It's not going well it's for the lad, is good. It?
And look, I mean, I want to put on record, I want all the best for Daniel Švancara. Like, I think he can be a good footballer, and for maybe for someone, he will be a good footballer, and I'm not going to let any, you know, sort of bitterness or rivalry and stuff, you know, go away from that. And he's going to have
shame about his dad, really, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, his dad's a prick. look, and he's going to have a fight there because Petr Žálka are cruising. 7 wins from 7. They've conceded only 2 goals.
Wow.
So he's been content with 10, 15 minutes here and there, which is not what you want if you're wanting game time, you know? So, but if he fights and gets in, you know, who knows? So, okay, so all those players have gone, right? Or are unavailable.
Yep.
So in come the likes of like El Hadji Ndiaye from Zlín, Adam Petrak from Žižkov, David Šimek from Pardubice, Papalele, who I do actually rate. I like Papalele a lot, from Opava. And then they realise they're going at the top flight, right? And then, you know, like you said, fight's never going to say no, right? So suddenly you have a squad with these players, plus the likes of like Tadeusz Stopin from Sigma, who wasn't even in the squad for most of the last season and was playing, you know, he was playing in the B team for the MSFL.
Still one of my favourite examples of nominative determinism, a goalkeeper being called Stopin. I think that's
excellent, isn't it?
Excellent work.
So yeah, so he's, which I'm sure, like Stopin's a good, I think, good goalkeeper. Not convincing a top flight goalkeeper just yet. But again, if you're signing this, probably fine for the second tier with a good defence and things like that. So you've got all this. So then, now this is where we're coming to your point. There's been a scramble for players. You're right. Including a number on loan, and that has inflated the squad. But there have been a couple of, I wanted to point out a couple of really interesting players, I thought, as well. Because, like, possibly their, you know, their best signing is Albert Labík.
He's
a first league ready.
Yeah, I did make a note of that when he came in there.
And actually competition for that spot is actually with Dominic Preissler. So he's come back for a season after a season in Poland. So he's got experience of Slovan Liberec amongst others. Alexis Alege from Jablonec is here. I'm starting to feel like all your stars are here. that sort of meme. But you have Sebastian Bohac, who was at Karvina, Dominic Sarapata, who's a young Polish midfielder on loan from FC Copenhagen. I don't know much about him, but Bohac comes with the first league experience from Karvina. And then this is the one that I think could like change things possibly. Is a season-long loan, I think, for Yusufa Sangyang.
I do not know who
So Slavia paid 3 million euros for him.
Oh, wow.
So he played 80 minutes against Spurs, 72 minutes against Barcelona in the Champions League last season, and he joined two days ago.
Wow.
Eve of the, you know, the transfer window, slamming shot. So they've got him on a season long, I think, or at least to the end of the season. Like, he's good.
Yeah.
There are more, but I think, you know, this podcast will be about 2 hours long unless I start editing myself. So what I want to say, and this is where I sort of slightly disagreed with you, is that I think these signings give them a chance. So, you know, okay, they came from a goal down to beat Pardubice, you know, away, and what's their first win? And that was a first and only win, I should say. That complemented their, you know, 1-1 draw with Slovacko, and that's their only points, right? So 4 points.
Sure.
13th place, I think. But, you know, those are two of the three teams that for the moment I suggest are worse than Artis. Like, I think that Slovacko are worse than Artis. I think Pardubice are. Zlín certainly are, of course. So after the rounds of games on the 19th of September, going to be a break for 3 weeks. And that's interesting for Artis because once they come back from that, these are the test games, I think, for them.
Yes, they'll have also had time to get those players into the squad and gelled a little bit, depending on how good the manager is at that.
Absolutely, you're right. Because there is no doubt in my mind that Sangyang starts against us on Saturday. There's no doubt in my mind that Labic starts, you know, and so on. And then after the 19th of September, you are at home to Bohemians on the 17th of October. You are away to Teplitz on the 24th. And you're at home to Zlín on the 31st. These are the games you need points from.
Yeah, if you you'd like to say if you could get four from that, if you were artists, you'd be fairly happy, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And before that, they've got Slovan and Hradec after us, basically. So you're looking at Zbrojovka as which of these three teams is most likely to yield you points? It's still us, just by notion of us being the team that came up. Right?
Yeah, and also, you know, maybe the comfort of being in their own bracket, shared stadium and things like that. And,
yeah, absolutely, that's the thing. So for the match itself, I mean, I expect it to be all guns blazing from the away side. Like, I really do. And I, you know, I'm actually being quite nice to artists here, and you're not going to hear me say this for much of the rest of the season, but I do quite admire their commitment to playing reasonably attacking games.
Sure.
So, you know, like, you know, they usually line up a bit like ourselves. You know, they lost to Pilsen, I think convincingly so, you know, 3-0, but they went on a 3-4-3, you know, which they haven't done before. So if that's the same, you know, if they're thinking about doing this sort of stuff, that is, you know, that will remain to be seen. But the one thing that's huge for them is that Quadriada Diran's back.
Yeah.
This is his first game back. He is their best player.
He is, by a fair way.
First league ready. He is a player, and he is probably their only player, like actually contracted player, that I would have as Zbrojovka. I think he's great. So if you're fight, I don't really care how much money you have, but I'll anticipate it will be incredibly difficult to keep him past summer, especially because his contract is up in June.
Yeah, or even past winter. If he has a good few months.
Yeah. So there is like kind of your very long recap of artists and sort of preview of artists this season. I mean, I'm looking forward to this match because I don't believe it'll be a straightforward game that I thought it would be a few weeks ago.
Yep.
Because a few weeks ago, we were like, ha ha ha, artist shit. Ha 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 ha. But now I just think, you know, and my predictions have been shoddy this season. Let's just put it out there as well. So, but I think this will be a sort of a good game. It's such an unknown quantity with all these players coming in on the eve of things, right? And the thing is, I still consider us, at least on paper as well, to be just a great deal stronger than artists.
I think we play
better football than artists. You know, but I think it'll be really fun because, like, it's one of these ones where it's like, it's going to be if they turn out terrible, it's going to be a tough season for you, right? But right now, I would... If I was a betting man, and by my predictions, you know, I'm glad I'm not, it feels to me like maybe a couple of these players click and they do actually finish just outside of the playoff places, like a 13th or, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Because I'm seeing very little redemption for Zlín, who were not able to really add, you know, in the transfer window. Banik Ostrava continue.
Yeah,
and doing... Slovatsko look really grim. So... It's going to be all like it'd be cool to see them all in the same sort of relegation group as well.
It would I'd actually. Just
be curious to know who takes points off who.
Yeah, it'd be kind of fun. Yeah,
but I think it'll be a fun match.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
And if you're coming, I'll see you there, listener.
Yeah. Right, we have the return of quizzing after this bit. Okay, in a triumphant return to ridiculous naming conventions, would you like to play Name That Cathedral with Philip Vedral?
Thought we got rid of this 2 seasons ago.
Nope. It's back, baby, by popular demand.
Have you done the music bit yet?
It's going to go here.
Roll the music.
By popular demand.
Shout out Liam.
And some other people. Shout out Vit, who bought me beers at the Reskovice Craft Beer Festival and asked where the quizzes had gone. Thanks, man.
Dox these people.
Right. As I'm sure you're well aware, our third goal scorer against Lean is as much a fan of thumpingly large medieval buildings as he is thumpingly large match-winning headers. So,
good.
So he's prepared five questions on his favourite topic. Are you ready?
No, I'm not. Okay, right. Go on.
Question one. Thomas Becket was murdered in which cathedral in 1170?
God, Jesus. At least get my football, man.
No, cathedrals.
I have to now name a cathedral. Thomas Becket, he was English, right?
He was.
It's a
famous murder.
Canterbury.
Very good. Okay. 1 point.
That's the only point.
What's the name of the cathedral in Prague Castle? It's officially dedicated to three saints, but it's generally only referred to by the name of one.
Okay. Oh, I can't remember. Was she the main songwriter or the one that married Liam Gallagher?
I can give you his first letter if you want, first letter of his name.
His? They were all girls.
Yeah, that's the wrong old saints. Saints.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Saint Delicious.
No, I can give you his first letter of his name if it will help
okay.
you. It's a V.
Velicious. Václav.
No.
Victor.
You're not taking this seriously, are you?
No, I kind of, a Saint V.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a widely known.
Oh, so saint. I don't know.
Saint Vitus.
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't know there was a cathedral in the Prague. I've never been into the Prague Castle.
No, nor have I, actually. But yeah, there it is.
Good expats.
Yeah. What unusual architectural feature links Lichfield Cathedral, Truro Cathedral, and St. Mary's in Edinburgh?
Well, I know St. Mary's in Edinburgh, sort of. It's yeah. The bottom of Prince's Street, isn't it? And there's one in Truro.
In Truro, oh yeah, that's right.
And one in, it was St. David's, did you say?
Lichfield.
Oh. Lichfield.
Yeah.
Okay, that's I'm guessing by that it's in the Midlands.
It is just down the road from Carvey, Lichfield.
I cannot think of anything genuinely for this. Do they all have socialist realist stained glass windows?
No, it's not that obscure.
Okay.
They all have three spires.
Oh, okay.
Because oftentimes you'll have two on the front and then maybe a tower in the middle, but they all have a third spire in the middle of the cross.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I did not know anything about that, actually. That's,
yeah,
that's
there you go. They're interesting. They're all very, very pretty as well. Yeah. Here's a vaguely geography one.
Oh.
One of the oldest cathedral buildings in Europe, this cathedral was constructed as the Royal Chapel of Charlemagne, who was buried there in 814. From 936 to 1531, it saw the coronation of 31 German kings, and it's in the westernmost city in Germany, located basically on the triple point of Germany, Belgium, and the Netherlands.
Oh. More western.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what's western. Like Aachen or something like that?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Correct.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay, good. I was trying to think of just the most western German city I could think of.
And that would be Aachen.
And then I was like, the other one I was thinking of, no, that's France.
Strasbourg.
Yes, it was specifically Strasbourg, yeah.
And finally, question five. St. Stephen's Basilica was only constructed in 1905, but is the largest church building in which European country?
St. Stephen's?
Yes.
1905?
Yes. It's not Stephen in, like in its native language, yep. It's not like Stefan. It's slightly different.
Oh, it's not like... Oh, yeah, because, I mean, my thought would be would it be István and would it be Hungary?
Bang on.
Oh, nice.
Yes, very cool. Good. See?
Actually did okay.
Yeah, not as bad as you thought there.
Yeah. If you would like more quizzes, actually genuinely let us know. I am being slightly facetious. Because we can knock up one or two.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
For sure. I believe it's now time for us to have a drink while I try, and then afterwards I'll try and rattle off two previews really quick.
Yeah, okay, let's do that. is time, listener, once again for the section in which we drink a
beer of the podcast.
This week was my selection. I don't remember whether it was or not, but I was in town anyway, so I thought I'll just pick one up for the frankly obscene price for one standardized can, 157 crowns.
Oh, boys.
I didn't think they printed the prices on them, and they actually did. I could have got a cheaper one. But the reason I got it was because the label has Ronaldinho on it.
Oh, excellent. Oh, this is funky fluid. This is Polish.
Yes, it is Polish. And the Ronaldinho on the can is actually a sticker. If you'd like to keep, you can peel it off the can and keep the sticker.
That's awesome. That, stick that on your guitar. That's cool as fuck. That, like, genuinely, you have to put this up on the Facey books, because that is an excellent can, and Funky Fluid do some good sour gelato-y pastry ones, don't they?
Yes, they're Polish Funky Fluid, and this is 5.5%, and it is called Joga Bonito. It is a mango and passion fruit ice cream sour gelato beer.
This could get us back on track for the season.
Yes. Yeah, it hasn't been a great start to the season beer-wise on this on the Beer of the Podcast feature, but this has all the hallmarks, despite the price, of being an absolute belter. I hope it doesn't let us down.
Hello!
It smells incredible, for a start.
It smells like pureed mango.
Yeah. So, shall we dive in?
Na zdrowie.
Oh, baby.
We're back. We're so back.
Dear me, that's good.
Whoa. That could get you in a lot of trouble.
Like, that is the most genuine mango flavor all the way down. Back of the tongue, throat. It is like you're eating slices of mango.
So fresh.
That's incredible. Well done. Well done, Funky Flo. I don't feel bad about the 157 crowns now. That is, me, that's good.
We treat, innit?
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah,
really good.
Absolutely superb.
Congratulate that. I mean, that goes high. That goes high all time. That's very good.
I think that's all we've got to say, honestly, on that.
Looking at the clock going, realizing how much I specifically have spoken on this podcast, a pretty good thing.
Yeah, we have a combined two previews, I think, for the last section, which is Kralof Dvor, which is not a big one because that's the cup game. And we're also playing?
We're also playing Mladá Boleslav.
We are. Right, let's talk about that briefly after this. We're going to talk about Mladá Boleslav, but also briefly about Kralof Dvor. If you heard the first episode of this series, you'll know that we had a brief discussion about which is the best Czech letter. I decided it was U with a circle on it, and Kralof Dvor has two, so yes. Good for them.
Kralof Dvor in Bohemia.
Yes.
Which is, we passed on our way to Pilsen.
Yes, on the train line between Prague and Pilsen.
Yeah, so a few words on this game, which is currently slated to take place at the frankly ridiculous time of 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday 16th.
Daft.
I wanted to mention this game mostly for the unique nickname of the side. The nickname of the side is the Sabalitsi.
Yeah.
Sabalitsi.cz is their website. Now, there's funny this, because I basically looked on, I was trying to find why is there this nickname. And I got onto Czech Wikipedia. And Czech Wikipedia says that the origin for this is not precisely known.
Right.
And that it probably comes from the German word Zappelig, meaning restless, or like tossing. And actually the term Saba is derived as an old name for container for dice, like a shaker. Yeah.
Could Mr. Lover Man, Saba.
So they could be, thrillingly, I would like it to be this.
The tossers.
The shakers, like Bury.
Like Bury, yeah. Or the tossers.
However, yeah, or the tossers. However, at the same time as I was writing this, Pavel on our group chat also found a theory that it's related to the town of Kralov Dvor and local industry and the ironworks and wire mills, the word sabel being like close to cable or rope, yeah. Cable, which is the names of local workers and athletes come from and therefore could be the cable guys.
I think that's probably more realistic.
I don't know. However...
Well, either way.
They are doing quite well in the CFL A. You know, so this is not a gimme. It's not like Friedland where we put 10 past them.
Yeah.
And frankly, ridiculous. So they're in second place after 5 matches, after Dinamo Česká Budějovice, currently leading there.
Our Remember that. Friends.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention two things really quickly, which is that some you might be familiar with a couple of their players because they have a centre back. They have Jaroslav Tregler.
Oh, yes.
Who is at Příbram for some years before going to Žižkov. Yeah. And he captained Žižkov for both matches against Borovka in the 24-25. Season.
Lovely.
Including that ridiculous 4-2 loss in Prague.
Yep.
And also a former Viktoria Žižkov player who transferred to Kralov Dvor this season in Patrick Brantner. So,
wow, okay.
So they've got a couple of those players. Cool wee ground. So good luck to all going. We want to be in the hat for the next round. And I want to take up my possibly 2.5 minutes to then also talk about Mladá Boleslav away.
Yes.
And this is quite...
The Škodovci.
This is it. And we're not going to... Look, we're not going to have, after this game, a game for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So I wanted to have a look into it because I think it's a big game.
Yeah, as you said, like one of the two form sides, really. Well, you know,
yeah.
One of the two form sides apart from Slavia.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Like, you could argue they're all big matches when we get back to the top flight, but, you know... We won't have anything until the 10th of October after this. The last time the two sides met, January 2023, which was an away game and a dull 0-0 with very few chances that we can both verify because we were both there. And
yeah, God, what a dull day that
and
was.
And let me tell you, I'm not in a hurry to go back.
No, me either. Good Christ.
It's always good. You know, we like to go there early, get a nice lunch somewhere and having to go to KFC.
KFC
really...
in a shopping centre.
Yeah. I can no longer eat happily. So last season, Boleslav third.
What a non clash that was, by the way.
Yes, yeah. I don't know what came over me there, but yes, last season they finished 13th, so sitting above the relegation playoff spots. But they were a good 10 points clear of 3. Crap size, like, you know, let's be real. The year before, 12th, 1 point better off than the 13th performance, yeah. Actually. But this is quite the shift because they're, and maybe recency bias is a thing because sometimes I'm always like, Boleslav, dull, rubbish. But they're a stable side. They're in Europe the season before.
They are.
Yeah. Made it to the league phase of the Conference League. They beat Real Betis when they were there.
Who are now in the Champions League, yeah. Madly.
In the last 20 years, I was stunned when I read this. In the last 20 years, they've made some sort of European competition half the time.
What?
They've been 10 times in the last 20 years.
That is insane.
I mean, sometimes it's been, you know, one of the rounds and they just got pumped out. But
sure,
they have,
but still.
Yeah. I know, it's wild, isn't it?
That is, for a team that plays in front of about 300 people every week.
Yeah.
That is mad.
Yeah, and that's always the big problem with Boleslav, because it is a town that has been inflated in population by Škoda and by people coming in. So engineers from Prague, engineers from Pilsen, workers from places, and they all support, obviously, their home teams.
Yeah.
So big Slavian Sparta presence in the city, but, you know, not so much for the locals.
Also, the other thing is, the town is... sorry, the stadium is next to the factory, and the factory is almost entirely incidental to the city. The old town of Mladá Boleslav, which is tiny,
yeah.
By the way, you don't even go there. If you go into the stadium, there's no reason to go. You just get a little sort of commuter train out to, like, Škoda Station and get off there. It's a very odd place.
Yeah, I've not seen any of the old actual Mladá Boleslav. But look, I mean... This season's a lot more positive footing. We said before, you know, seem to be one of the only teams to rival Slavia because they're the only team unbeaten aside from Slavia as well. Now, they've had one of the easier starts of the season. This is the big quantifier here, right, or the qualifier, I should say, because their first 6 matches were Artis, Sigma, Sparta, Pardubice, Slovacko, and Banik.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are big teams in there, for example, Banik, but Banik are busy self-destructing.
Forced them 4-0.
Yeah. Sparta are not the force that they have been.
Beat them 2-0.
Yep. And then you've got Pardubice, Slovacko, etc.
Draw with Sigma. Sigma being one of the stronger ones there, but you should be beating Artis, Slovacko, Pardubice right now. They have played a game less than everyone else because they had a squad illness that postponed their match against Bohemka.
Right.
So so they're on six right now. The first thing you think of, I think, when you're going through, if you watch the highlights or if you're going through them on Transfer Market or whatever, is you have to go, like, how well Martin Schubert is doing. Like, he's a really, really excellent left-footed player. I think he scored all his goals for his left foot this season so far. And they kind of, it's kind of fun because they have him, I went down a rap, you know, wormhole here. They have him moving between like the left and the right wing. So sometimes like he will start on the left and sometimes he'll start on the right. And sometimes it'll just like, they'll just overlap and things like that. Yeah. They do all these funky stuff.
So like either pure winger or modern inside forward.
He's got five in six.
Nice.
Like really, really good. And he's not on penalties. Like it's five, it's all from open play.
Yeah.
And it's the wings as well. Like Solomon John also plays for them on the other side. You might remember him from Flashim. He's got three himself. You've got the experience, really experienced at this point, Jerzy Klima in between them as well. Mm-hmm. Like 15 goals for the side across the opening six games. That's really encouraging right? Really exciting 19-year-old and Josef Kolarzyk as well. He's also like alternating on these wings as well. So they keep rotating. And the positives there is that all those players are contracted to Mladá Boleslav.
Nice.
So they're not going to be going away anytime soon. And even though like Boleslav, they're quite, I think, infamous that they're owned by like a millionaire, right? But they don't give them money. So the last few years, they have relied on loans for a good chunk of the squad. That's been a reason that they've been down, I think, in 13th and 12th. And they've got six this season. So, you know, a good amount of stability, at least in your core. It does raise the other question whether they can, you know, keep hold of players that are achieving good levels. Roman Matzek left them last season. He's a really interesting player. Played a lot of his time in Italy and Switzerland, okay, but don't have the time, frankly. We will also get to see friend of the podcast, Jirka Floder.
Oh, yes.
Still their number one.
Is
goals.
He?
Yes.
There you go.
I think he's a good goalkeeper still for this level. Two clean sheets as well so far this season. Like, this will be a tough game. If I didn't be so arsed with that town, I'd probably try and go up.
Yeah.
Because I think actually what's going to be good is that I think we're going to get a couple of really interesting and fun games coming up before we have our a couple of weeks off of the international break.
Yeah.
So I think it's a real fun time to be watching the team. Hope we'll have a good turnout on Saturday and come and say hello.
Absolutely. Yes. That is true of any game, listener. Come and say hello or get in touch with us on the socials. It's at Sprovcast on Facebook and on the Twitters. And we will be back with you when we deem it pertinent, I suppose.
Yes. We'll definitely be back before the 10th of October, but
yes.
that's for sure. But until then, keep enjoying your football. It's been some laugh so far.
It really has. It's been such a good season so far. We'll see you when we see you.
Bye.
Kdybych měl teď říct, co bych si přál, jen hlavou pohnul bych, nic víc. Kouř, cigaret a smích, to pak však víš, jíst nechci nic, ani nic číst. Chvíle něžností padla jak sníh na černou zem. Mír a únava posedli nás. co více chcem. Sníš, senty k horám, spánku vznáší blíž. Už spíš, nádherná a něžná. Stačí mi jen vzduch kolem nás, který dýchám. Postačí mi jen vzduch kolem nás, já ho dýchám. Postačí mi jen vzduch kolem nás. Nádherná a něžná.